Good morning. Thank you, worship team. Isn't that a comfort to know that the God of angel armies, even though we face dark times, hard things, the God of angel armies is right there by our side. And for me this morning, he's right here. This morning, we're moving into Matthew chapter 6. We'll be dealing with the first four verses, verses 1 through 4. I'd like to read those verses. It says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that is, your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." As I read these verses and I was meditating on them, thinking about them, there was another verse that came to my mind that seems to be a little different from that. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So in chapter 5, he's telling us, let our works be seen. In chapter 6, he's telling us, don't let your works be seen. Now, well, which is it here? There's a difference. It has nothing to do, actually, with the deed. It has to do with the condition of the heart. In chapter 5, if you notice, it talks about doing your good works, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. In chapter 6, it is to be seen by men, a desire for recognition. It almost seemed like Jesus was contradicting himself, but he wasn't at all. As I said, chapter 5, the purpose of the heart was to let people glorify God because of what was done, to see the change in their lives so that God would be honored. They were bearing the image of God. Chapter 6, it is the deeds were being done to bring honor and glory to themselves, to be recognized by themselves, to make an image for themselves. You know, all through this series of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went for the heart. He always went to the heart. He went past the outer image and went to the heart of man. And he's doing the same thing here, going to the motive of the heart. In verse 2, it says, "Therefore, when you do your charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So apparently, this group of people, and typically we think of them as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, and they were making a big ruckus about their deeds, what they were doing, blowing trumpets, drawing lots of attention to themselves. I had to think, I wonder if this is where we get the phrase tooting our own horn. You know, they were blowing their own horn, trying to draw that attention to themselves. Jesus calls these people hypocrites because they were working for themselves. I went to Webster just to make sure I had the right definition of a hypocrite. And you know, I think we all have the idea, you know, someone who doesn't do what they preach. And but I went to Webster and looked it up, and of course there's various definitions. And so I kind of put them all together and came up with this as a definition. Hypocrite is a person who gives a false appearance of possessing qualities or beliefs that they actually do not have. Hypocrisy is a false and deceptive appearance of piety or moral superiority. And piety is defined as devotion to God, faithfulness, and reverence. So these people who Jesus calls hypocrites were purposely presenting an image of being connected to God, of having a devotion to God, but really inside, they were living for themselves. In essence, they were using God, a position given to them by God. They were using God for their own gain, for their own glory. And this always seems to stir Jesus. Anytime he talks about hypocrisy, you almost get the feeling that he is angry. He has strong words for them. In Matthew 23, and my Bible titles that the seven woes, and he's constantly, woe to you, Pharisees, hypocrites. And he goes on to criticize what they're doing, to criticize the fact that they're not true in their living, that they are living something different than what they preach. And you know, I think I understand why Jesus was so angry. These people were supposed to be God's representative to the people. He was there, they were supposed to be their go-between between God and the people. They were supposed to be the ones representing God. And they were giving a false image. They were giving a false testimony. It wasn't from in here. And that it's no wonder Jesus was upset. I mean, we all do not like to be misrepresented. But to misrepresent God and to use God for our own personal gain, I believe that stirs the heart of God. And then we move on. Jesus begins to teach about what our hearts should look like when we are giving. Verses 3 and into verse 4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. Now, I've always kind of wondered, what does he mean by not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing? And I always thought, well, don't talk about what you've been doing to other people. But it's left hand, right hand, it doesn't involve someone else. So what does he mean? And I thought about this and, you know, how do I keep a secret from myself? You know? Now, I'm very good at forgetting things, okay? Just ask my wife. She'll sometimes ask me to pick something up on my way home, and I get home and, did you get this? No. But how do we keep a secret from ourselves? Maybe forgetting is part of that. And the thought that came to me, and I, you know, maybe what he's saying about this is, what he's trying to say is, don't continue to dwell on your good works within yourself. Maybe you're not saying anything to anybody, but don't continue to run, when you've been able to bless someone, don't continue to run that over in your mind, and begin thinking thoughts, I've done such a great thing here. Or kind of patting ourselves on the back. God calls us to move on. We need to be ready for the next work and not trying to self-glorify ourselves. Now, I don't want that to be confused. There is joy and peace when we are able to bless someone, when we are able to help someone. There is a real joy and peace that comes, and I believe that is given by God to encourage us. It's not given to us to gloat, but to encourage us on to more works, to more blessing others, to more charitable deeds. Now, sometimes when we are called to serve, we do an act. Sometimes we are called to do something up front. Some of us aren't as comfortable with that. And sometimes we're called to serve behind the scenes. Sometimes we're called to do something rather ordinary. Sometimes we are called to do something that seems maybe a little, is this really service? A lot of the time, we are called to those kinds of things. If we look in verse 3 and 4, let me read those again. It says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret himself will reward you openly. There's a promise. There is a promise. God sees the things that we do. You know, we talk about God sees everything that we do. And oftentimes that is given in sort of with a negative context that we fear that God sees all the bad things that we do. And a lot of times that's how we look at that thought, that scripture. But you know, God also sees all the good things that we do. God also sees the times when we are serving in His name to give glory to Him. He doesn't miss that. In fact, scripture even says that even the giving of a cup of cold water, there is a reward. And so God sees when we are serving behind the scenes, when we are not necessarily the upfront one that is ministering. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about our church service here and how this congregation functions. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes to make this 3-hour time slot on a Sunday morning happen. And other functions from this congregation. You know, we come here, we come to learn. We come, we bring our children to Sunday school and looking for them to be taught and to learn. We come to worship, come to put ourselves before the Father in heaven corporately. And we come to fellowship, encourage each other, build each other up. And yet that doesn't just happen without things going on behind the scenes, things that aren't seen. You know, we come to a building, you know, this morning the lights came on. Unless you're the small group that has to set up chairs, you often don't think about the fact that that has to be done. This building is maintained, and there's a committee that does that work. We don't often see them at work here, but it's done. We would notice if it wasn't done. We come to a clean church. Again, we would notice if it wasn't clean. It wouldn't be very pleasant after a while. There's those who prepare for Sunday school. There's a lot of time behind the scenes that gets put into preparing to teach a Sunday school lesson, to teach a children's class. Trust me, after the last couple of weeks, I have a new appreciation for what our ministers go through in preparing for a Sunday morning message. There is a lot, and at this point, I'd like to say thank you to all of you who were supportive, who sent words of encouragement. And it's taught me I need to do better with that. You know, and we all enjoy the last Sunday of the month, and we can gather around tables, and as far as I know, we all like to eat. We enjoy good food and fellowship. You know, food doesn't cook itself. Tables don't get set up by themselves. We just recently enjoyed camp out. There was a lot of work put into camp out. It doesn't just happen. But we come there, and if you haven't been on a committee like that, you can kind of take it for granted that this is what we do. But there is a lot of work that goes on in them. And it sometimes might be hard to understand how that is ministry. You know, how is washing dishes after fellowship meal ministry? But I believe God looks at it as such. Because we don't know how God will use what we're doing, no matter what it is here. Any of those committees, and there's others who do things behind the scenes that we don't see. But God can take our faithfulness in serving there and use it in building his kingdom and encouraging his congregation, his church. You know, you might not think of washing dishes or preparing food as ministry, but you don't know what's going on during the fellowship meal. We don't know. You know, you may not know what encouragement is happening over at this table, what burden is being shared over on this table, what visitor might be welcomed, feel welcomed and loved over here. Maybe you weren't directly involved in all that, but you were a facilitator. You provided, helped to provide the situation or the atmosphere by which those things could happen. When you teach a Sunday school class, and I have to think of, you know, teaching a small children's Sunday school class, and sometimes you can think, well, did they catch anything? Did they learn anything? But you don't know how God is going to use that child. You don't know how God may use something that you've said to remind that child that God loves them. You know, it's a little bit like a ripple effect. You know, you take if you're standing by a lake or a pond or some water that is very still, and you take a rock and you throw that rock out there, you know, where the rock impacts the water is just a very small area. It's only the size of the rock. But the effects of that rock impacting here ripples out. And I believe that's how God can work. He can take the small things that we do and use them for great things. I never said this was going to happen. Excuse me while I get organized here. Anyway, no, not sure how it happened to my one page. An example I thought of from the Bible, we all know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, how Jesus took a small amount of food, prayed over it, and he fed 5,000 people. In John, John is the only one that includes the little boy that brought that food. Now, I know how boys and food work. I think some of you are finding that out too. They like their food. But he was willing to give Jesus his lunch. And I don't know what his thoughts were. Maybe he was thinking, well, maybe at least Jesus can eat. And he's the one that's been preaching. But he was willing to give his small lunch to Jesus. And what he had to give was, in man's eyes, completely insufficient to meet the need. But Jesus was able to meet that need, to take that little gift and multiply it. God made the increase. And everyone was satisfied. And the Bible says that it was 5,000 men, and some commentaries are estimating it could have been between 10 and 15,000 people there from that little lunch. And in fact, they even collected afterwards what was left over. So guys, leftovers are biblical. Just saying. But you know, that little boy, we don't know his name. We don't know where he came from. We don't know really much about him other than he gave his lunch. But God honored him by putting that story, including him in the scriptures. So sometimes we are called to do things behind the scenes where somebody else is the forerunner in ministry. And sometimes we are called to be the one in the upfront place of ministry. The question is, are we willing to do both? And are we willing, and are we doing them both for the right reasons? This summer, God gave me a little lesson in this. Maybe he was preparing me for today, but we had the privilege of being with the youth on their trip to Colorado, and went to work there at New Horizons, and Monday morning rolled around, and we all had breakfast. The youth packed their lunches, and they were off, and we were part of the food kitchen committee there, or kitchen crew there, and so we cleaned up there, and then we went over to the store there in Canyon City, and we were given various things to do. The first thing that I was supposed to do was I was supposed to go up to the Oasis compound and pick up a pickup truck. There were some bikes that needed to come down from the shop up there that they had gone over, and they were ready for sale. So I went up, got the truck, loaded up, brought them down, put them in order, made sure the chain went through so that they didn't leave until they were supposed to. And then we went to the back of the store, loaded up some grills. I said barbecues, and my wife reminded me that in the U.S. they are grills, not barbecues. But loaded up some grills, a couple smokers, and some more bicycles to take back up. They were donated, but they needed to be gone over. And then after that, I came back down to the store there in Canyon City and went to find out what I was going to be doing next. And I was taken to the back of the store. In my next job, I was going to be helping Annika in what she was doing. And what she was doing, they had a bunch of Rubbermaid containers, totes, you know, the big tubs. And they were filled with scarves and gloves and beanie hats. Now, again, in Canada, we call those toques. So there were all these totes of toques there that, and our job was to go through these totes of toques and take a lint roller over them. Now, I have to confess here that my inner male ego started rising up, and my thoughts were, isn't there some furniture to move or stuff to haul or something to fix? Run a lint roller? The other thought that came to my mind is, do I really look that old that I can't do something more? It was only for a brief few seconds, and it was all inside, I hope. But I had to make a decision. No, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it cheerfully. This is what they asked me to do. And we came to serve in the ways that they needed. And so I approached my lint roller cheerfully and joyfully, and I had a good day. I had a good time. We had a good conversation. We had a few laughs at some of the things that were donated. But I had to make that choice that I was going to do it cheerfully and for the Lord, because running a lint roller isn't necessarily something I'm going to add to my resume. But I had to think, you know, there were a lot of those kind of jobs there. For any of you who have been there and seen the process for which they go through, you know, there was people there, of course we were running the lint rollers, there was people there cleaning shoes, wiping down the shoes that come in. Not a real glorious job. There was people there sorting through toys. Bev spent quite a bit of time just cleaning sunglasses. You know, there was so much of that. There was a whole area that was dedicated to going over kitchen appliances and electronics, make sure things work. It wasn't just thrown out on the shelf if it was donated. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, these jobs are very tedious, and it's a little bit hard to see it as ministry. But you know, because of those jobs being done, I believe those stores have a reputation of having good items in their store to sell. And I believe that because every time I pull into that parking lot, the parking lot was full. Those stores move a tremendous amount of items, which in turn provides the funds for those people, for those who go into prison, for those who care for the children whose mothers are in prison. So in a roundabout way, even though it was something small, it is a part of God's work. It is a part of the ministry that is happening there. Whether you are the one going in, you know, we didn't go into prison. We didn't go into any prisons. We didn't provide any child care to the children that are being cared for there. But we were able to facilitate that. And I believe that those who serve in such positions will receive a reward for that. Nothing. Again, I just want to say, nothing is missed by God. Nothing that you do is missed by God. Not just the bad things. He doesn't just keep track of the bad things that we've done, the places where we sin and we struggle. He keeps track of the things that we really do with a pure heart. And he will have a reward for us. I just want us to remember that, you know, there is a day coming where we will all stand before God and we will give an account for the things that we have done. The happenings of yesterday remind us that none of us knows when that time will be. None of us knows. It does happen. And if we have lived our lives for our own, for ourselves, then there is no reward. We've gotten a reward if we've sought honor before men. But if we have been faithful and our lives have all been about Jesus, about serving him, about loving him and loving our neighbor, the two greatest commandments in the Bible, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If we have been faithful in that and done our deeds with a pure heart, God will have a reward for us. The question is, are we working for ourselves or are we working for God? I have a song that I like to play. It's someone's idea of what that might look like when we receive that reward. And I don't have it on a video clip. We're just going to listen to it. As we do, just silence your heart and take inventory. What are you working for? Who are you working for? Are you working to please yourself? Are we working to please ourselves? Myself included. Or are we really working to please God? Are we working to further his kingdom and to reach those for him? You can play that song.
Someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Sure. pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, I noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad.
I can't think of any amount of honor and glory here on earth that I would compare to finding out that someone made it to heaven because of something we have done. There's nothing here on earth that's worth that. There's nothing here on earth worth missing heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come together and look into your word. Father, we know that you see who we really are on the inside, no matter what we look like on the outside, or what our deeds look like on the outside, you know our hearts. And God, as we live day to day, as we go from here and tomorrow when the rubber meets the road and we are out in the workforce, Lord, I pray that our hearts would always be in service to you. Help us to see the needs around us. Help us to see the little things that we can do to be an encouragement, to be a witness for you. And God, we're just so grateful and privileged to to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, Bruno may come and close the service.